Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
And now, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints presents Enduring It Well. Unexpected events can drastically change our lives. In such times, often we're called on to make critical decisions. Calling upon a higher power in times of trouble opens new views and understanding. The key to divine communication starts with faith that God exists and faith that He hears our prayers. It is in these moments He goes from being God to becoming our Father in heaven. Next, we need to know how He answers our pleadings. Learning this broadens our perspective and gives us true direction in our hour of need. But how does Heavenly Father speak to us, and what can we do to recognize His response? To some, direction comes in the form of visual promptings, often while dreaming. To others, it is a feeling. The Lord tells us in Scripture, quote, "Behold, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart." Close quote. It is up to us to recognize divine communication and have the confidence to react and respond when it occurs. By listening carefully to promptings of the Spirit and faithfully following them, we gain trust that our Heavenly Father loves us and will help us in our journey through life. Welcome to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen and guests Ann and Wade Hansey and their son Michael of Littleton, Colorado.
On December 31, 1993, Michael Hansey and a group of Boy Scouts climbed St. Mary's Glacier in the Colorado Rockies for a day of snow tubing. On the first run, Michael's inner tube slammed into an outcropping of rock, changing his life forever. Comatose for months with a traumatic brain injury, Michael's parents, Ann and Wade, were advised by their son's medical team that he would never be able to speak or walk again, and to consider placing Michael in a permanent care facility. Wade and Ann, with their other four children, pled with the Lord for Michael to recover. In their time of need, they knew what they were to do to keep their family together and to help Michael recover. The Hanseys learned the value of prayer, faith, and trust in divine intervention. I'm with the Hanseys, Ann and Wade, and their son Michael, on location in Littleton, Colorado today. Welcome to Enduring It Well.
Hi, Bill. It's nice to be here and nice to meet you.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Wade, tell us what happened that day on St. Mary's Glacier.
On New Year's Eve, Michael went up with the other scouts on a tubing outing up to St. Mary's Glacier, a place that we thought was a winter wonderland. It's a beautiful location. Conditions need to be good for it to be a good tubing place. On that particular day, the weather was very bad and visibility was poor. He was coming down the mountain in a chain with some of his other friends, and they hit a cornice that then veered them off to this area where there was an outcropping of rocks. And Michael went into the rocks head first and sustained a traumatic brain injury.
So how did you find out?
We were at home. We received a phone call, and I answered the phone. And it was the sheriff's department informing us that our son had been hurt in a tubing accident and that they were going to flight for life him down to a local hospital at St. Anthony Central.
Did they give you any idea of his condition, or did they just tell you that they were transporting him to the hospital in Denver?
No, but you could, if they're going to flight for life somebody out, then you know that it's pretty severe. And so we grabbed our stuff, and Ann and I immediately went up to St. Anthony Central to be there as soon after he got there as we could. We figured that they would beat us there. But once we got there, we found out that the weather was so severe that the helicopter could not get off the ground, and they had to bring Michael and the other boys down by ground transportation.
Which took a lot longer.
Yes, it did.
Okay, so now you're at the hospital when he arrives. What did you find when he came in?
There were four ambulances that pulled in, and the boys came in, and Michael was so bandaged up that we couldn't even recognize him. We could tell his jacket, we could tell his boots, and that's how we knew it was him.
How much time did it take before you could actually be with him at bedside?
They wanted to take him immediately into surgery. We requested time to give him a blessing.
And did you give that blessing?
Yes, we did. And then he immediately went into surgery.
And when did he come out? How long was that?
Forever. It seemed like it took a long, long time. It was just hours. And they came back out and said that they had done all they could do. And the rest was up to him.
And so now eventually the doctor comes out and he tells you and Ann that Michael has sustained a traumatic brain injury. That kind of news stops your world, I'm sure. Where's the rest of your family at this point?
We have four other children, and we left them at home.
So what did you tell your younger children about their brother Michael as you were running off to the hospital?
That he was involved in an accident and that we were going to go up to the hospital to see how he was doing and what the situation was.
And you wait as that clock stands still, waiting while he's in surgery. And eventually he comes out and he doesn't look anything like the boy you sent away on the tubing outing. You now see your injured son that has quite a recovery road ahead of him. What do you think helped him through the long process of recovery?
I think what got Michael through was that we were told by Craig Hospital when he went there to rehabilitate. They said he was a very healthy young man, very motivated, very goal-oriented. And they said those are the things that are going to help him. And his therapy was all centered around goals. Michael worked hard. If he knew he was going to have a reward, then he worked hard for that. And they said him being a healthy, strong young man and very goal-oriented, that would pull him through. And I know, too, that it was his testimony, because there were several times when he was still in ICU that I would go in and be with him, and his little body would be very gray and it'd be cold. And I'd just lean over him and I'd say, Michael, I know that you're having to make some big decisions right now, that you are visiting with Heavenly Father. I know you are. But I want you to know that no matter what home you go to, you are going to be loved. And I think he had some very special spiritual moments that helped him to decide that he was going to stay here and he was going to work hard to get better.
As you watch Michael and you saw this personality of his ability to dig in, being goal-oriented, did that inspire you as his mother, watching him do that, seeing that kind of resolve that he had, his perseverance and tenacity?
Definitely. It was very hard. It was extremely painful and hard for him to recover. I can't even imagine what he went through to get to the point he is now. I think of when I hurt my toe or something, and I think, oh, that hurts. Immediately, I think, but Michael hurt so much more. And how did he do this? And he never seemed to complain, but it was hard for him. It was very hard, but there was just something about him that I knew he wanted to get better, but it was just going to take a long time.
These things take time.
Yes, they do.
So Michael triumphed over these tremendous obstacles and was eventually able to talk again and slowly regained many of the abilities that he had lost. He was eventually called to serve in the Colorado Denver mission, right? Mm-hmm. And Michael was able to serve a mission despite some question of whether he'd be able to after that accident. And I understand that. Each of my three boys who suffered from muscular dystrophy were able to serve as missionaries with calls adapted for their condition. These were wonderful experiences for the boys and, in fact, for our whole family. Looking back now, how has Michael's mission helped him? What did that do for him, and what did it do for your whole family?
It was wonderful for all of us, because when Michael was recovering, he was in a coma for 7 months, so he had to fight to get out of that coma. He didn't talk for a year and a half. He used an alphabet board, which he became very, very good at. And then he didn't walk for 5 years. So he had many hurdles already that he had to overcome. And he graduated from high school. These were all triumphs that we didn't know if they were going to happen. And then to go on a mission, that was incredible again for all of us. And the mission was so sweet.
So, Dad, for you, what was that like to see your son serve a mission?
You know, that was a goal of his that he always talked about. He always wanted to serve a mission. And be able to make that happen was just a tremendous blessing to the entire family, and especially to watch the resolve that he had to go. He was able to work in the office and served there well in the office. He called us up one day and says, "Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm getting transferred to Kansas." And he rode to Kansas with one of the other missionaries in the office to go deliver some supplies and things. And he didn't get back until 9 o'clock at night, but it was wonderful for him.
That was his transfer.
And towards the end of the mission, the assistants to the presidents worked with him, was working with a family, and they says, "We want Michael to come teach this young man." Mm-hmm. And they took Michael to some lessons, and when it come time for him to be baptized, he asked Michael to baptize him. So I think we had three missionaries besides Michael in there in the font to help make that happen. And he was able to baptize somebody even on his mission.
Wow. So you send him off to a scout outing and life is normal. The last thing you expect takes place on that glacier that morning. What does that tell you of the fragile nature of life?
We are all very vulnerable. We are all subject to the laws of nature. And at any time, a terrible accident can happen, whether it's an accident of nature or an accident of man. But that is real. But you cannot live in fear of what might happen. You have to live your life in a way that you want to get the most out of it and live it according to the way your Heavenly Father would want you to live.
And we're told the opposite of fear is faith. What does that mean to you?
Fear is a devastating thing that can cripple you. And the only way to overcome that fear is to have faith and understanding of what causes that fear. And when you understand what's causing that fear, and you have the faith that we believe in a living and loving God and His Son Jesus Christ that is there to help us through anything and everything, then with that faith, you can conquer any fear that's out there.
It will overrule that fear.
Absolutely.
How do you combat fear? You still have to live in a world where more accidents can happen. You have younger boys that will want to go on outdoor scouting outings or other things in their life. How do you combat that fear?
For me, with scouting, that created a great fear. But what I did was, again, I got in and served. I asked the scout executive if I could be on the health and safety committee for the council so that I could learn and see what they do to stop these kinds of things to happen, because I wanted to do everything possible to prevent another scout from having an injury like Michael had.
Sure.
And in doing so and getting involved and learning what they do, the fear goes away, because once you gain the knowledge of what is being done, then and you understand what they do to try to prevent that, and the scouting program does a wonderful job of that. And as a result of Michael's accident, the Guide to Safe Scouting was rewritten totally in order to help leaders not to have something like this happen again.
So you found a way to see that some positive came out of what seemed to be such a negative experience.
Absolutely. And the thing that I want to emphasize there is that most of the fear you have is unknown, is the fear of the unknown.
Sure.
And with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, we learn and we can have that enlightenment if we will follow the Spirit to learn those things, then a lot of times that fear will then just go away.
Because that knowledge replaces it.
Knowledge replaces it.
Anne, you told me before the interview that you were given some advice from your medical team that was taking care of Michael that gave you great cause, great concern. You said it even shook you to your core. What happened?
We went into a room. Michael was probably 2 months out of the injury. And we were in a big room, and the doctors and the therapists and psychologists, they came to us, and we sat around a big table. They at one end and us at the other, and they said, "You need to put Michael in a home and move on with your life, because 95% of the marriages will end in divorce, and your children will rebel, and life will not be good." And I remember that as if it was yesterday. And when we got up to leave from that meeting, I couldn't find a corner fast enough. I felt like here I'd lost my son, and now I'm going to lose my family. It's statistically proven we're going to lose our family. And so we came home, and we gathered our little family together. And so they were from age 8 to 15, four of them. And we knelt in our living room, and we prayed, but mostly our prayers turned into begging, that our Heavenly Father would not let this statistic happen in our family, that we wouldn't, this would not destroy us, this accident would not destroy us, that we would be okay, that we would not lose our other children, and that our family would stay strong. And to this day, our children love each other, they care for each other. Our youngest son loves the disabled, and he goes to camps to help the disabled. He does anything. He just loves the disabled people, and our marriage is good, our family is good. But I believe that Heavenly Father heard our prayers.
You're begging.
Our begging.
What I like about this is you triumphed over that statistic by listening to the still small voice that was prompting you to take a different course than the advisors were suggesting. And they were the so-called experts.
But it still was hard. I mean, we had many mountains and hurdles that we had to climb. Not just Michael, but us as a family. It takes a toll on a family when you have injuries like this or sadness.
A crisis like this doesn't just get resolved overnight. It's a long, drawn-out process.
And I think that's when I learned about the atonement. I'd always been told about the atonement. I'd read about the atonement. I knew that my sins could be forgiven, but I didn't understand until this, of Michael's injury, that my Savior, He took upon Himself my pains, because there were times that I knew I could not go on. My heart was so broken that the only way I was going to be able to get through that was because of my Savior and what He did for me, that He took away that part that I could not bear. And I knew I still had a lot to bear, but I knew He took away the part that would just be more than I could handle. And I grew to love the atonement. It's more than just forgiving of my sins. It is taking away my heartache and my pain.
As you look back at it now, what good has come to you from these experiences?
I've had the question posed to me, if you could change everything and it be different, Michael never got hurt, would you change it? And my answer is, no, I would not change it. There are too many things that we learned that Heavenly Father needed us to learn. And so I always feel like there's a reason for what we go through.
And these aren't trials we would choose ourselves,
no,
are they?
No, I'm grateful. Our trials are our joys now. They're not even trials anymore. They're pure joy, because I have seen Heavenly Father's hand in our life, and I am so grateful to know that we are not alone here. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us very dearly, as much as we love our own children. And I'm just grateful that we had the opportunity, because I feel like we're passing that test. We're doing the very best that we can. I'm sure we weren't good every step of the way, but I feel like that we are working toward this being a good experience for our family.
Now, we've had the opportunity to sit around these microphones today and talk of tender subjects. But one of the sweetest things for me has been to watch Michael smile as we've talked. Let's move Michael closer to the microphone now so we can get his thoughts. Michael, I can't thank you enough for your willingness, your enthusiasm, and especially for your smile to join us here on Enduring It Well today. Let's start by me asking you, what have you learned about the love your Heavenly Father has for each of us?
Since my accident, I've learned that our Heavenly Father has a great love for His children, and if you ask Him to help you with difficulties in your life and believe that He will help you out with those, with the difficulties that you asked Him to help you out with, if you just believe with faith, if you just have the faith that He will help you out, you will see miracles come to pass in your life. And since my accident, I've greatly witnessed that this, because when I was on my first mission, I began my mission in a wheelchair, and one day I was just sitting at my desk, and I told myself, Michael, you're going to start walking one day here pretty soon. And I stood up from my desk, and I tried to take a few steps on my own without anything, and I miraculously started independently walking again.
Wow.
And that was quite a special miracle that my doctors and nobody ever thought I'd ever be able to do again. And I'm extremely grateful for that blessing, because it's helped me out in so many ways.
Surely that miracle was an answer to many prayers. You know, it doesn't surprise me that it happened while you were serving others on your first mission. How important are the teachings of Jesus Christ to you, Michael?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is extremely important in my life, because it has helped me out to develop special standards in my life to help me to obey the commandments and grow closer unto our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and to fill of their love.
Tell us how you felt being able to serve your first full-time mission.
Before I served my first mission, I'd always, ever since I was a little boy, I'd always desired to serve a mission, and then after I got hurt, then people were telling me that I might not be able to serve, but I just held strong, and had the faith, and our Heavenly Father blessed me to be able to serve my first mission, and I'm extremely grateful that He has blessed me to serve this second mission, and I'm grateful that I'm able to serve my second mission with my parents. There are not too many people that get to serve two missions, and one of them to be serving with their parents.
How happy is Michael Hansey?
I am extremely happy through all the blessings and miracles which our Heavenly Father has performed in my life since before my accident and after my accident. The blessings that He has bestowed upon me, just to see my Heavenly Father's love, that just makes me extremely happy and makes my heart to grow and grow with happiness. And I will just remain happy all my life for all the many blessings which have been bestowed on me here upon, in my life here on the earth.
And I think in there is the key to be grateful. When we have that attitude of gratitude, we can be happy. And obviously that is what you've done.
I believe that we are all children of our Heavenly Father and that we have a loving Savior that atoned for our sins so that we can return back to His presence and the presence of our Heavenly Father after this life.
One final question. What would you say to someone who, like you, has just had their life turned upside down? What advice would you give them?
Well, if you are going through difficulties in your life, don't let people say that you can't do it, because if you just stay steadfast and keep pushing with all your might, believing that you can do it, and ask your Heavenly Father to help you out to accomplish your desires, you will see miracles come to pass in your life.
You know, one of my favorite scriptures comes from Alma, the powerful missionary prophet in ancient America, who, realizing his own weaknesses, he humbly recorded in the Book of Mormon, quote, "Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God," close quote. I think we've been blessed to hear the voice of an angel today. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
And thank you to your parents, Ann and Wade. Michael's life since the accident has been meaningful and fulfilling and of value to all who know him. I will never forget Michael. If you're facing a huge obstacle in your path, take comfort in Michael's story of resiliency and the strength possible when families are guided by faith, trust, and prayer. I personally have felt the guiding hand of a loving Heavenly Father countless times as I've been faced with difficult decisions in what at the time seemed insurmountable trials. I have learned to trust in the gentle influence of the Spirit, a loving influence that suggested solutions and confirmed decisions when my tempest was tossed. I know by experience that He who commands the elements is ever near to say, "Peace be still." Thanks for listening today. Join me again next time for another episode of Enduring It Well.
You've been listening to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen on the Mormon Channel. We welcome your comments about today's show and other episodes. To share your comments, send an email through the Mormon Channel's Contact Us page. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Tune in next time to Enduring It Well to hear how good people with faith face difficult challenges with courage, conviction, and trust in a divine plan of happiness. Enduring It Well, the Mormon Channel's program of hope and peace, sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.